160 years ago, this October, the last great strike against slavery prior to the Civil War took place in Harper's Ferry, Virginia, where the abolitionist John Brown led a party of 20 men on a raid of a federal armory to spark a slave revolt intended to bring down the entire system of slavery in our country. It didn't work, at least not in 1859. John Brown was captured and executed by the U.S. government. But his actions catalyzed the fight for freedom that followed soon after, and he became a secular saint during saint of abolition during the Civil War, with U.S. soldiers singing his name as they marched, freeing the slaves as they went, singing the words, "John Brown's body lies moldering in the grave, but his spirit is marching on." If most of us understand Jesus to be the great prophet of peace, indeed the Prince of Peace, John Brown was reading some different passages in the Gospels than the ones most of us love. In fact, John Brown may be that very rare Christian who would cite this morning's Gospel passage as his favorite. What most of us, preachers most definitely included, would just as soon gloss over, John Brown drank up with the greatest zeal imaginable. He read deeply these words, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." This was the Jesus that John Brown read, and he's in our Bibles too. He's the Christ that understands that a just and compassionate society must often go through periods of division to become what God wants it to be. But in fact, the great struggle in the mid-19th century was not just between pro-slavery and anti-slavery factions, but between those who wanted gradual emancipation and those who wanted immediate freedom for all those held in bondage. As another of the great radical abolitionists in that latter camp, William Lloyd Garrison, put it in 1831, "Tell a man whose house is on fire to give moderate alarm. Tell the mother to gradually extricate her babe from the fire into which it has fallen, but urge me not to use moderation in a like cause such as the present." As it turns out, in some cases, slavery most certainly among them, impatience is a virtue. We see the virtue of impatience a century later in Martin Luther King's masterpiece, Letter from a Birmingham Jail, wherein Dr. King criticizes the patience urged by 8 white clergymen in Birmingham who had written an open letter opposing demonstrations for civil rights. Those 8 white ministers had said, "We are now confronted by a series of demonstrations by some of our Negro citizens, directed and led in part by outsiders. We recognize the natural impatience of people who feel that their hopes are slow in being realized, but we are convinced that these demonstrations are unwise and untimely." Dr. King had actually read the Bible and knew this morning's words from Jesus, and so replied with the words, "For years now, I've heard the word wait. This wait has almost always meant never. There comes a time when the cup of endurance runs over and men are no longer willing to be plunged into an abyss of injustice where they experience the bleakness of corroding despair. I hope, sirs, you can understand our legitimate and unavoidable impatience." A wise rabbi once said that a prophet is someone who knows what time it is. Dr. King knew that the time was right in front of him. And he might as well have quoted in his letter to those 8 white clergymen today's final verse from Luke, where Jesus says, "You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Now, Dr. King was not the first prophet call for justice immediately, despite the division it would cause. John Brown did before him. And even before Jesus spoke the words we hear today, John the Baptist spoke of the division that would come from Jesus' work in the world, saying, "Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And before that, when Jesus was a newborn infant, St. Simeon held him in his arms and said, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel." And even before Christ was born, Mary would prophesy of him, "He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." She did not say, "He has made sure everyone gets along just fine." To everything there is a season. And sometimes it's the season for justice, and sometimes that season is right now. John Brown's raid took place just 18 months before the start of the Civil War that divided the nation but ended slavery. A year and a half out from that great division of our land, there was also a new hope for justice. The same could be true for us today, in this time, when we as a society could use some hope of our own.